John 11, we need to get into the Bible. John 11 and verse number 1. Marriage is honorable and all. Praise the Lord for that. And excited for these two. Well, we got through John 10. I took a lot of time. Brother Nichols is with us today. That's why the guitar is up here. And I thought he would enjoy going out and teaching his son's Sunday school class. And I thought I'd love for him to just spend some time with our young adults. Plus, I didn't get in the pulpit all last week. And I thought, boy, that 2 weeks in a row, I've got to at least teach Sunday school. And, you know, we're going to work our way through John here. It may be, we may still be in it when Jesus comes. But anyway, this has been good. I love about every 3 years. I think so. I think that I'd have to go back and double check. But about every 3 years, we try to pick one of the Gospels and go through them. And sometimes I'll do it on a Wednesday night. Sometimes I'll do it on a Sunday night. Sometimes I'll do it through Sunday school. But it's just wonderful to be able to walk with Jesus. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning, the importance of being like Jesus Christ. And hope you've had a good week. Hope you've had a good week. Okay, John chapter number 11. If you know your Bible, John 11, 35. When I was a kid, and somebody said, if you can say a memory verse, you get a candy. You want to have memorized John 11, 35. Okay, just keep that in your back pocket. Be the first one in line. Jesus wept. Get your candy. Go sit down. Okay. And so we'll get to that verse, probably not today, but eventually. This is, of course, the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. And interesting. I love the opening verses. You know, we're going to talk about this. Jesus knew of a need. Jesus was informed of a need, a desperate situation. And yet the Bible says that after he had that information, he tarried 2 days where he was. Now think about that, because this will help a lot of us. You know, a lot of times we go to God and we've got a desperate situation. Folks, this wasn't some minor thing. Their brother was sick, sick unto death. And they said, let's send somebody. Apparently they knew where Jesus was because they sent a messenger to Jesus. By the way, he was, I went to two different commentaries. I love it when commentaries can't. I mean, you know, a furlough, he was 15 furloughs from them. And so I said, okay, well, you know, I'll go find out what a furlough is and how long is 15 furloughs. And one source said 1.8 miles and another source said 2.4 miles or something like that. I don't know. So, but a couple miles. I mean, when me and Cheryl walk, we walk out our driveway, go down the gravel road to the stop sign. That's a mile. We walk back. That's 2 miles. Takes us less than 45 minutes. And, you know, he's pretty close. Okay. So, I mean, your expectation is, I mean, we're going to see this, that Jesus loved this family. By the way, he loves your family too. He loves your family too. He loves you too. But the Bible says in a really special way, he loved them. And so let's read a little bit and we'll talk about this. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters, of course it'd be Mary and Martha, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now notice that statement. And then verse number 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Well, it seems like those two verses don't go together. I mean, how can it say that he loved them and he knows about this situation, he knows how serious it is, and yet the next verse says that he stayed where he was for two, abode where he was 2 more days. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that we would understand a little bit more about you and about your will and your timing. And Lord, sometimes from our limited view here on earth, we can get frustrated because, Lord, we have a need and it's a pressing need. And sometimes we pray and we don't get an answer and we don't hear back from heaven. And we wonder, if we're not careful, we can begin to wonder, does God really love me? And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would have our eyes open, dear God, that you would elevate us this morning up to heavenly places, that we would not just see life from our perspective, our limited perspective, but Lord, we'd begin to see things a little bit more clearly through your eyes. And thank you, Lord, that you're always good and you do all things well. And Lord, I pray that this will be a faith builder in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus held a special place in the heart of Jesus. Now, we sing every Sunday morning. If you were here in opening assembly, you heard us sing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And I want to make sure that they sing that song. Why preacher? Now, we mix up some of the songs. We change up a few songs, use a few variety. Every Sunday morning I'm here, we sing that. You know why? Because I want those children to always remember how much Jesus loves them. And so Jesus loved them, but he did spend extra time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Anytime he was near Bethany or in Bethany, they hosted him. They opened their home to him. We're reminded in the parentheses, in verse number 2, that this was the Mary. And sometimes the Bible has to clarify because there's a lot of Marys going on in the New Testament. Sometimes you have to stop and say, which one's this talking about? Well, the Bible's specific to let you know this was the Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair. Remember that story? Was criticized for it because it wasn't just any type of anointment. It was a very expensive ointment. Some commentaries say that the container of ointment that she used to anoint Jesus would have been worth a year's wages. And so she had done something very sacrificial for our Lord. And you remember she got criticized. You remember who the chief criticizer was? Judas, yeah. Now, why? Because he was more worried about the money. The Bible says he carried the bag, and it also tells us he was a thief. And so he would have rather had her sell that and give the money to him to hold for Christ and the disciples. And it was just greed. And here's a woman that's doing something very sacrificial and very special. And Jesus even said, she anointed my body for death. And so to Jesus, it was maybe a bigger thing than even she understood, the way that he interpreted it for us. And so they had a very special place. Martha, by the way, remember Martha was the one busy in the kitchen. Martha was the server. Martha was the one that cooked for Jesus. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I grew up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I loved going to Bill English's house anytime I got invited. You know why? Because his mom could cook. And now my mom could cook too, but I don't know what it was. Sister Ruthie, man alive. And so anytime we got invited over there, she was a Martha. She was in the kitchen. She was putting together a meal. And you can criticize Martha because she complained about Mary. And sometimes people will try to use that to say, you know, that Martha, what she was doing wasn't important. It was important. Jesus just reminded Martha that Mary had chosen the better thing. And folks, we can serve so much that the next thing you know, we're not spending time in communion with Christ. I'm just giving you some backstories, let you know they've got history, okay? So Martha was busy in the kitchen. Mary's in there listening to Jesus sitting at his feet. Martha's getting ticked off about it. And you can say, well, Martha should have been in there too. Well, let me just tell you, we need Marys and we need Marthas. Because I guarantee you, when Jesus got done teaching and everybody was hungry, everybody was glad there was a Martha, okay? I mean, if we put a sign-up sheet for the next church get-together, and instead of ladies signing up, every line, they just went back there and said, I'm choosing the better thing. When we went out there for our church get-together, sure glad y'all spent time with Jesus, but we're still hungry, okay? And so, you know, yes, we want to be careful. And the teaching is not to dismiss the importance of serving God. It's just saying that if we're not careful, we can serve God without knowing God. And so there's a picture of the balance of that. So they got history, okay? And Jesus, in a special way, loved Mary and loved Martha. The Bible says this several times. In fact, look in verse 3 at the end of the what they said there. They said, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." They felt that in a really special way. Now, I think Mary, Martha, I'm always curious how old Lazarus was, and I'm not sure. I've kind of got this in my mind that since they list them the way they do, that Lazarus may have been the kid brother, okay? And, kid, you know, come on. So he's got a serving older sister that's always after him to get up and stay busy. He's got a more devotional older sister that's always after him, "Did you read your Bible and pray this morning?" You know, and he was just probably a young man. I don't know what age. He may have been adult. He may have been a teenager. I have no idea. The Bible don't really let us know that I can see. But, you know, he was kind of special to Jesus in a sweet and special way. Verse 5, look at this. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Jump down, if you will, in verse 35, verse I talked about earlier. "Jesus wept." Verse 36, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved them." Behold how he loved them. You know, I hope everybody in here feels that. I think everybody ought to feel like you're kind of special to Jesus. Okay, you ought to feel like I'm one of his favorites. Now, I'll tell you that we're all one of his favorites, but you ought to still feel like you're one of his favorites. And you know what? The reason they felt extra specially loved and extra close to Jesus is because they wanted to spend time with him. They wanted to serve him. They opened their home to him. And, you know, I heard a preacher say this once. I can't argue it. All these years later, probably 40 years ago, still can't argue it. He said to me and others that were in that service, "You know how close Jesus you are? As close as you want to be." Amen. And you know what? That's the honest truth. You know, the old bumper sticker in the 1970s that said, "You feel far away from God? Well, who do you think moved?" And so those gentle reminders, folks, that, you know, if you want a special relationship with Jesus Christ and a special closeness and feel individually and specifically loved, you know what we have to do? We have to invite him into our lives. Remember the last letter in the book of Revelation to the Laodicean church? And Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock." And that wasn't him knocking. If you read it in the context, it wasn't him knocking at the door of a lost sinner. It was him knocking at the door of the church house, at, you know, hoping someone would open the door and let him in. So, hey, let's just decide I'm going to get as close to Jesus Christ as I possibly can. And I'm going to invite him into every area of my life. So they felt very close to Jesus. And by the way, I want to say this, the sisters did the right thing here. Okay, they sent for Jesus. And so we see that. Verse 3, "Therefore his sister sent unto him." And they didn't just send unto him. They gave him very specifically what was going on and why they needed him. And so let's talk about, to stop and talk about this matter of prayer. You know, folks, when we're in the midst of a crisis, when we're in the midst of something that we need God's attention on, immediate attention on, you know, the best place we can do it is to go to the throne of grace. And I think that this teaches us to, kind of reminds us to pray very specifically. Okay, you say, well, God knows what's going on. Well, he does know what's going on, but he wants to hear specifically from you about what you need. I mean, in specific terms, what you need. So the message is, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." We need your help, Jesus. We've got a crisis going on. This isn't just a light thing. And by the way, folks, I was just looking a little bit, just reading a little bit of history this week. And I'm reading a book called Undaunted Courage about the Lewis and Clark expedition. And a fascinating read, fascinating book. But, you know, in that book, it reminded us, reminded me of the fact that back in Lewis and Clark's day, they did not have a lot of the medical supplies that we have today. Somebody ran a fever, it could kill them. Somebody got pneumonia, they probably weren't going to live. I mean, the things that we don't take very seriously because we have antibiotics now and things that we can do. And it was talking about how they met. He traveled clear to Philadelphia in preparation for the trip to meet with a doctor that specifically gave him a list of things to take on this journey so that they could treat as best they could all of the different ailments that that they couldn't, you know, encounter on this trip. And one of the things I was reminded of is, you know, sickness unto death was not an unusual thing in Jesus' day. And something that we might treat as minor, they would understand that this was a serious situation. And so that lays the groundwork. We get down to verse number 6. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, and this is the phrase I highlighted in my notes, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And that to me is just kind of like, okay, wait a minute. Aren't you glad that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? And so, you know, I thought, begin to think back in my life where I felt like I had a very pressing need and came to the Lord, and yet it didn't seem like God was concerned about it. I expected God, because of the seriousness of the situation, I expected to see his hand move immediately. And sometimes that's not what happened. And so it's interesting. Now, I already mentioned Bethany. Verse number 18 says, now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. So somewhere between around 2, maybe 2.5 miles, right in that area there. And as I mentioned, that's just less than a 45-minute walk, and that's not even at a brisk pace. That's just a 45-minute walk. Well, good night. Your expectation would be, he loves Lazarus. He loves us. I've communicated clearly this is a crisis situation, so surely he's going to be here. I mean, we will send the messenger. I mean, maybe an hour for him to locate Jesus, get there, locate Jesus. Maybe Jesus has to wrap something up real quick, but I mean, two hours, 3 hours, 4 hours at the most, you would expect to see him walking in the door. Two days later, he still hasn't moved. He stayed where he was. And then it says in verse 7, I highlighted these three words, then after what? After he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And Jesus delayed his coming. You know, sometimes, folks, we want immediate answer. We want to see God working in an immediate way. And we see what we want, and we see it from our perspective, and we want God to move. And as I mentioned in my prayer, folks, sometimes the way we view a situation, and remember, we have a limited perspective, and God has a all-knowing perspective, and we want a little miracle, and God wants to perform a larger miracle. Isn't that what happens by the time we get to the end of this chapter? And I guess I wanted to share that with you because, folks, his ways are so far above our ways and his thoughts so far above our thoughts. Part of trusting the Lord is going to him with a need, going to him with a request, and putting it in his hands, and trusting him to know how best to handle it. Now, I think there's nothing wrong with specific prayer. I've already said that. And a lot of times I think that we don't pray specifically enough. But once I've come to the Lord, and once I've told him about a situation and told him the desire of my heart, what I want to see him do, I think it would be very wise for us probably to end every prayer by saying, not my will, but thine be done, because God may have different purposes. He may have a different plan. He may want to accomplish something that we can't understand and we can't even know. And so, you know, think about this. If he would have showed up early, there's some of this story that would not be in the Bible. If he would have shown up early, we wouldn't have verse 25 in the Bible. Look at verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. We wouldn't have that verse in the Bible. we wouldn't have this example to help us. I mean, we're going to see that one sister comes out, the other sister comes out. They both say almost the exact same thing to him. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And again, they've got a limited perspective. They're brokenhearted. I get it. They're brokenhearted. I get it. They wanted him to be healed, but God had a bigger plan. Okay. So Jesus delays his coming. And this is, I think, a good reminder to us that when we pray to God about something and it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that God didn't hear us. It doesn't mean that God is not concerned. It doesn't mean that God does not love us. But folks, again, he's far, far more concerned about bringing to pass his larger plan than he is satisfying our momentary emotional need. And so sometimes we just have to trust the Lord and just understand that his timing is always right. So I guess the question we could ask is this: was Jesus late? And I think I see several people going like, Jesus late? Is God ever late? Okay, then we have to trust him. I will tell you, probably one of the frustration points of the Christian life is that his timing is not my timing. Okay? And there's times that, you know what? I want him to move according to my timeline, and yet he understands and has bigger purposes. And so this just is one of those areas, one of these stories that can really, I think, potentially increase our faith, because what we have to learn to do is, as I said, is go to God, be specific in our prayer and in our request, but put it in God's hand and understand that his timing is perfect. Now, that might help one person in here who's been praying and waiting on something. And it might just be for one person this morning that's like, I've prayed this prayer a lot and I still haven't seen God do anything. You know, this is where we grow in faith. And this is where you have to really trust the Lord and just put it in his hands and trust his timing. Verse number 8, his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Now, one of the concerns that the disciples has is that Jesus, remember chapter number 10? At the end of chapter number 10, they had decided they were going to kill him. And they tried to kill him at the end of chapter 10, and he was able to evade that. But you know what? One of the reasons he was where he was is because that he, one of the reasons he was where he was is to avoid the confrontation and to avoid the plotting against him. And so he had the power to heal Lazarus, but he purposely delayed his coming. And so they said, if you go back into that area, there's people looking for you. There's people that's wanting to kill you. There's people that's wanting to do you in. And Jesus then answers this. Now, this is a great answer, folks. This will help all of us. Verse number 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? Stop. Okay, if we just read that far, we'd say, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Everybody knows there's 24 hours in a day, but he's not talking about a day. He's talking about daylight, right? Because how do we know that? Because that's what the Bible says. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. And by the way, you may think the light of this world, now there is spiritual application here, but what he's saying is the light of this world is the sun. And if you walk in the daylight, you're not going to stumble. And by the way, you got 12 hours to do it. And so what you want to do is do your traveling during the days where you can use the light of the world to give you light to see so you don't wander off the trail or you don't stumble or you don't get in trouble. And then verse number 10, but if a man walk in the night, so there's the comparison. Are you walking in the light or are you walking in the night? Be a good thing to write down. Are you walking in the night or are you walking in the light? Because if you walk in the light, the Bible, or the night, verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. Now, we're going to, again, give spiritual application here, but what he's talking about is they're saying, now listen, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither? And so Jesus said, well, and by the way, maybe that's the reason he delayed for 2 days. Why? Because he was afraid? No, he was waiting for the light. Listen, this is going to help us make decisions. How do we know when to move? How do we know when to get involved in a situation? How do we know how to respond when there is a pressing need? A lot of times, you know, we don't always know what to do or how to respond. Now, I'm going to give you this because I think it's so important. One of the greatest secrets of the Christian life is just a very simple thing to remember. Here it is. Walk in the light. What in the world are you talking about? Walk in the light. Okay, 12 hours in a day. He's talking about daylight. But let's give spiritual application, folks. The light of this world that he's talking about in this portion of scripture is the sun. But I think we could say the light of the world, and this is parallel, teaching in the Gospels, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so you want to walk in the light. What do you mean? I want to follow in his steps. I want to go where he goes. I want to go where he leads. And I think that that there's several things that we can kind of begin to apply in our mind when we have studied the Bible and understand the greater teachings in the Bible. How do you make sure you don't stumble? How do you make sure that you don't fall? How do you make sure that you're staying in God's timing and not your timing? And here it is, walk in the light. Now, let me give you some of the light that God provides us to walk in. The guiding light of God's word. Psalms 119, 105. Did you already think of this verse? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And God gives us certain things that provide light for us so that that light can cause us to be able to walk and not stumble. And let me just say this. Thank God for this book. Thank God for the Bible. And it says, and I reminded this to a young person the other day that was praying about God's will, wanted to know God's will. It's almost like they wanted me to explain to them how they could know God's will for the next 10, 15, 20 years of their life. And I used this verse and said, thy word is a lamp unto my what? My feet and a light unto my path. And you know, God tends to give us enough light so that we know what the next step is. And so I told this young person, I think you're trying to look farther down the trail than God's going to give you light. And I said, he's going to lead you. Come on, the just shall live by faith. So God's going to give us enough light. And by the way, obviously in that same verse, the light that it's talking about is the word of God. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And so a lot of times God's word provides you enough light so that you know the next step or two to take. And folks, that really is the Christian life. You know, I've often said I'd like to have a spotlight that shines all the way down to the end of my life and that way, but then it wouldn't be a walk of faith. And so, you know what? Sometimes when you're not sure what to do, I will tell you this. When I'm faced with a decision, one of the things I found out is this. If I'm really struggling and seeking God's will, and I've got to make a decision, and it's an important decision, I spend extra time just reading the Bible, just reading it. And it's not always that there's a magical verse that tells me the answer. But I will just tell you this. There's something about spending extra time in the Bible that just, I don't know, it just kind of clears up the fog and it solidifies my thinking. And I think one of the things I found out, you know, God's not the author of confusion. And so, you know, if the devil's clouding my thinking, what did we learn when we study how Jesus dealt with the devil? He always quoted the Bible. And one of the things I've counseled people over the years is if you're faced with an important decision, yeah, of course, pray. And but also spend extra time just in the Bible, because it's amazing how just the word of God pushes away that enemy of ours that sometimes clouds our mind or causes us to have confusion. And the word of God will just give you clarity. And it just helps you to be able to make right decisions. And so several different things, the guiding light of God's word. How about the guiding light of God's spirit? God's spirit. One of the things you'll see when you study Jesus in his time on earth is that he was led by the spirit. Remember when he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Remember those 40 days? The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Now we're talking about, you say, why did Jesus wait 2 days? Well, yes, he had greater purposes. And yes, he understood that he was going to raise Lazarus. And as the result of, by the way, him raising Lazarus from the death, many believed on him. And so there was a purpose bigger than just Mary and Martha kind of, you know, out of their minds. I want what I want now. Why weren't you here? They can't see what Jesus saw. And so I think that Jesus, the time while he was here on earth, was led by the Spirit. Bible says in Romans 8:14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so when we talk about leading and seeking out God's will for our life and God's path for us, you know what? Spend extra time in the Word of God. Be sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit. And I think those two things need to be taught at the same time. Because a lot of times, not a lot of times, but occasionally I'll have somebody claim to be led by the Spirit in a decision they're making, but the decision they're making is in violation of the Word of God. And one of the things that you have to always remember is this: the Spirit of God is never going to lead you to do something that would violate the Word of God. Amen. That's very, very important. Because, you know, this matter of, well, I've even had him quote this verse, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to do this. Well, if it's against the Word of God, then it's not. The Bible says you better try the spirits. Amen. Because, you know, you can have a supernatural direction or supernatural pushing towards a direction. Better make sure it's the Spirit of God that's doing the pushing or the leading in that. So we see that the guiding light of God's Word is there for, I mean, walk in the light, folks. Walk in the light. Spend the time in the Bible. Learn the Bible. Learn the principles and precepts of the Bible. If a direction you're thinking about going violates the scriptures, then good night. You know, I feel like God wants me to take this job, preacher, but I'd have to quit serving God here and quit serving God here, and I'm going to miss a lot of church. What do you think? Well, what do you think I'm going to say? You know, I mean, you know, be wise, okay? The guiding light of God's Spirit, the guiding light of God's Son. And that's what we said. You know, watch this. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I guess maybe this will help you, because now we've taken you out of Mary and Martha's position and we're taking you over into Jesus Christ. Why did he tarry 2 days? Well, he had bigger purposes, but also he was telling them, I mean, he said, walk in the light. Hey, if we go back into that area, they could kill you. They want to kill you. So if we go back in that area, they could kill you. And so all of a sudden he's like, well, not if I walk in the light. Not if I wait till I get the green light from the Holy Spirit when to go. Not if I'm walking in God's will, not if I'm not violating the scriptures. And so I just want to walk the way Jesus walked. And so that's his explanation when they show concern about the dangers of this. So I think we have to ask the question, did he wait 2 days because he was afraid? No, he was just waiting for the light. You ever heard somebody, well, I'm just waiting for a green light from the Lord. You ever been in that situation where maybe you know what to do, but it's not just sometimes knowing what to do, it's knowing when to do it. And so this is what Jesus is teaching us. Folks, listen, if you're walking in the night, and by the way, it's a little humbling what he said there. He says, let me go back and read verse number 9 and 10. If you look at that, Jesus said, are there not 12 days or 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth. Now look at this last phrase. Because there is no light where? Now this is something that we need to hear, because let me just say what Jesus was saying. Now you can say, well, there's light in me because I have the Holy Spirit. Got it. We've already talked about it. There's light in me because I have memorized Bible principles and I know Got it. But what he's saying is not that. He's saying in our own reasoning, in our own intellect, us trying to make decisions without God, we are walking in the dark. And so always just take some time. I think in my youth, come on, maybe you can relate to this. It was always, I got to make a decision, and we let pressure. Come on, have you ever reacted because of pressure? And one of the things I learned was this, you know, don't be pressured into decisions. Okay, don't live by pressure, live by principle. That's so important. And I think if maybe you're like me, maybe not, but if I look back at some of the really dumb decisions I made in my youth, it was, and it was because I didn't take the time to pray about it. I didn't say, hey, what would happen if we took 2 days sometimes before we made a big decision? And sometimes, you know, well, this happened and it's a crisis and I got to do something. And next thing you know, what do? We go sign some papers and get ourselves in a bunch of debt. And maybe if we'd have waited 2 days, God had had a different answer. And so always just learn to move slow. Don't get in a hurry. You know what? Follow the light. Wait for God's green light, not just on what to do, but on when to do it. And so, well, great, great principle. He was led by principle, not by pressure. Do not let circumstance dictate your actions. Be scripture led, be spirit led, and be Christ led. And if you do that, you'll walk in the light. But if you do it without those influences, I think that's a lot of times where we kind of fall flat on our face. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story. And Lord, I can't wait to get to the rest of it. What an amazing story. And Lord, I pray that this has been an encouragement, especially for those that may be waiting, Lord, and they're praying and they're not hearing from you. And I've been there. But Lord, help us, dear God, to put our faith and trust in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.